So tonight's shir is dedicated to Ilui Nishmoso Shel Isha HaChashuva Heno Chava Bas Harav Reb Moshe. And that is the wife of Reb Moshe Lazer from Antwerp, a good friend and a Choshev Yid, and the family just got up from the Shiva. So Heno Chava Bas Harav Reb Moshe Shetanuach B'Sholom Al Mishkovo Shetiyem Alitzes Yosho for the entire family, and they should only know Simcha v'nachas kol hayomim. So today we will be discussing a fascinating topic, sugya, and I find myself almost every week saying that today we will be discussing a fascinating sugya. I don't think there are any sugyas that ain't fascinating, that ain't exciting, but this is an interesting connection with the weekly parsha. And some of the halachas we talk today will be especially relevant to doctors. Doctors still working, not the ones that are already in pension. So, as the story is told in this week's parasha, between Yaakov and Esav, and Rivka's conspiracy. But at the beginning of the parasha, even before it comes to the brachas, ויוזד יעקב נוזיד, ויובא עשב מן הסודה והוא אויב. ויאמר עשב אל יעקב, אל יתננו מן האדם האדם הזה, כי אויב אנוכי. על כן קורא שמו אדום, אדום. ויאמר יעקב, מחו כי יומס בחירו זכולי. ויאמר עשב, הנה אנוכי הולך ללמוס, ולמוס אל יבחרו. And then they clinched the deal. ויאמר יעקב, וישבו לי כיום, וישבו לו, וימכר את בחירו של יעקב. ויעקב נוסן עשב לחם ונזיד הדושים ויוכל ויש ויוקם וילך ויבז עשב עשב בחוירו. Chazal teach us that Esav comes back from the field and he says, I am going to die. I am so hungry. I'm so thirsty. Please, haliteini no mena odem odem ezeh. And Yaakov senses the opportunity of a lifetime. And he takes advantage of Esav's desperation. And he says, I'll be happy to serve you, but first, will you sign here? And he says, what is this I'm signing on? And he says, it's a document, please sign. And he says, what is it? I want you to sell the b'chayre. He says, okay, what do I need b'chayre? And he signs. And Yaakov Avinu was zoicha in the Bechayra. So the second part of today's shiur, we will discuss why was it so important to Yaakov Avinu to have the Bechayra? Was it the riches? Why was he so bent on achieving the Bechayra? But halachically, this is a very interesting question brought up by the Ponam Eirois. The Ponam Eirois was one of the greatest poskim 350 years ago, and I think I quote this sefer quite often, Rav Meir Eisenstadt, Shalas HaTshuvos Ponam Meirois, but he has a sefer al HaTorah, which is not that very well known, which is called Kosnois Oyer, and it's Pilpulim al HaTorah. Gedolei Ashkenaz in that period were great mefalvim, and it's Pshetlach and Pilpulim al HaTorah. My Rebbe, the Klozim HaGerebi, loved the sefer Kosnois Oyer. I think I heard him quote the Kosnois Oyer more often than he quoted the Ponam Eirois. And so he asks a gevaldige kasha from Yevamis Daf Kuvav. And Yevamis Daf Kuvav, the Gemara says that a person is fleeing others that are pursuing him and want to hurt him or kill him or damage him. And he comes to a ferry and he wants to cross the river. And the person operating the ferry also sees those people chasing him from afar. And he says it costs $100. It usually costs $15. But once again, he takes advantage of a person's desperation. So the person that needs to cross the river because he is fleeing from those that are chasing him could say, okay, please take me to the other side. And when he comes to the other side, he could say, Meshata b'cho ho'isi ve'ein loy elo sechoroi. And the principle is, in Choshe Mishpat, in Dina Momenes, you don't have the right to take advantage of another person's desperation. And even if he promised you pay, compensation, which is not fair, which is not reasonable, which is more than the normal price, he doesn't have to stand up to his promise. And he just pays you what the normal price is Ein loy ela sechoroi. So Ramea Eisenstadt, the Purim Iris, asks, so why couldn't Esav just back out of the deal? And he says, you know, you need to pay a reasonable price, not some soup. You don't sell b'chayda for a bowl of soup. So why couldn't Esav say the very same argument that mishateni b'cho ve'ein loy ela sechoroi? So on my list, I wrote 7 different approaches, and we will be delving into the depth of the very sugya ein loy ela sechoroi, and why is that, and how do we understand this halacha? So the source of this halacha is the Avomis Kuvav Amid Alef Choshe Mishpot. It's a sif in Simareish Samach Dalad Siv Zayin, and Rabbi Kiva Ege, actually on the spot Gilin Hashas, refers to the Kosnes Oyar. He doesn't go into any lengthy discussion. Rabbi Kiva Ege and Gilin Hashas is just short references, but he does refer to the Kosnes Oyar. So number one, Ktsoy Sechoshin, Simareish Samach Dalad, and the very source where this halacha is brought, and Siv Kotin Dalad, the Ktsoy Sechoshin is Chadish, that if the person that asked for this service also gave a shavua that he's going to pay, then he is mechuyev to pay, and he cannot say Meshat Ani Becho, because he didn't have to swear. And if he did swear to pay, that proves that he had clear intention, and it wasn't just a promise which he gave without Smichus Das, without Gemara Das. So according to the Ksai Sechoshin doesn't bring our sugya. He doesn't speak about Esav Yankov, but according to the Ksai Sechoshin, we have a very clear explanation why Yankov insisted that Esav swears. V'yoyim Yankov, he shavoli kayoyim. Because Yaakov was a Lamdin, and he definitely is aware of the sugya in Yevamos Daf Kuvav, and Yaakov is afraid that Esav, after being satisfied, after eating and drinking, and he's going to, you know, come back to himself, he might quote the Gemara in Yevamos Kuvav and say, Mishatani Bacho. That is why Yaakov insisted, Yishavali v'yishavaloi, based on the Ktsoy Sechoshin, the Simareish Samach Dalet, if the person swore to pay, then he is obliged to do so. The Ktsoy Sechoshin is somewhat of a chiddush because actually the Kosnes Oyar says the same chiddush medate de nafshei, and the Kosnes Oyar says it on our parsha. The Ktsoy Sechoshin just reaches the same halachic conclusion without discussing our parsha, but the Kosnes Oyar says the same chiddush 100 years before the Ktsoy Sechoshin. And this brings to mind another discussion also in this week's parsha regarding Eino Damoicha Dovah Shalobu L'Yolam. So obviously when a person sells his future inheritance, it's a Dovah Shalobu L'Yolam. And we find in Tshuva Sarivash and in Baraturim and many Rishonim already discussed the question, what was the validity of this purchase, of this transaction, selling the Pchid if it's a Dovah Shalobu L'Yolam? And the Ksaviyad Tur ala Toira quotes from his great father, the Rosh, Afro Pisha'inu the Mantra de Vashal Yadam. But if you swore, then the Kenyan is Chal. And then Mincha Sosho, Madura Kama, more so in Madura Basa, I discuss at length that obviously the opinion of the Rosh is based on Baba Metziyat Zayin. The reason a Kenyan isn't Chal, but Dovashal Aboriyadam, is not because in Gidrei HaKinyonim, you can't make a Kinyan B'Dovah Shel Aboriyadam, but rather because of a lack of Smichus Das, a lack of proper intention, and therefore the Kinyan isn't Chal. So if you add a Shavua, or the Maklan B'Dovah Shel Aboriyadam, the Rivash disagrees. And the way I explained it is, the Machlokes says, what is the reasoning, what is the rationale? She'ein Oda Maklan B'Dovah Shel Aboriyadam. Is that based on Gidrei Kinyonim? You can't make a Kinyan. The Kinyan einenu nitpas b'dovah shalei bori yoylam. You can't make a Kinyan that would only be valid at some future time and some future thing, which is non-existent at this present time when you're making the Kinyan. Or maybe is it just a lack of intent, of gemardat? According to the Rosh, it's a lack of gemardat, and therefore an additional shavua would prove sincerity and clear intent. But if it's just a basic deficiency in the kinyan, How would Shavua validate a Kenyan that is not a proper Kenyan? So anyway, according to the Koshin Sorrow, and the Koshin, Im Nishba, then he has to pay because his Shavua proves sincerity and clear intent. So that would be one approach. The other approach is, Esav just asked, Haliteninu mina odoim odoim azeh. And Yaakov offers him lechem v'nezid adoshim. So why is Yaakov so forthcoming and he offers bread even though Esav didn't ask for bread? So according to my interpretation, I would say Yaakov doesn't want Esav to be desperate by the time he gets the nezid adoshim. So Yaakov offers, you know what, wash. And then he puts a big loaf of bread on the table before he brings the nezid adoshim. So by the time Esav gets the nezid adoshim, he's no longer in desperation. He's no longer going to die. You ate a half a loaf of bread, which is kedei sviya. He ate a kazayis and a kabetz and a grigeres. He ate a lot of bread. So by the time he gets the nezid adoshim, Esav could no longer argue, you took advantage of my desperation. I came from the field and I told you I'm going to die. And all I asked is for a drink. So Yaakov gives him bread, lesava, and only then did he give lechem, first lechem, and then nezid adoshim. So by the time Esav gets the nezid adoshim, he's no longer so desperate. He's not going to die. You're doing fine. And apple pecan, he was willing to sell the poyla for that nezid adoshim. So he could no longer argue Meshata ani b'chor. Number three, Tosfos on the spot, in Yevamos Mezkuvov, says that Meshata ani b'chor is only an argument if he asks for an exaggerated price. But if the price he asks for is a reasonable price, then you got to pay it. Even though you were running away from people and they were threatening to kill you, but that doesn't mean you need to get service for free. And you need to pay just like anyone else. So if the price that was demanded is a reasonable price, you got to pay it. And it is only because the operator of the ferry asked for a totally exaggerated, unrealistic price. That is why the person that got the service could say, no, you know, I just promised because I had no other choice. But you took advantage of my situation, of my desperation. But if the price is a reasonable price, then he needs to pay. Maybe that is why the Pasuk says, Ve'yivas Esav es ha'poyro. Esav had no interest in the poyro. Rashi explains, it wasn't about money at all. It was all about the klavos ha'karbonos. Because in their days, in days of yore, the firstborn, the poyro in every family, was like a kohen. He was makav karbonos. And that is why Esav wanted to buy the poyro. It was nothing about the inheritance. It was nothing about money. It was about the schus to be makrav korbonos. So, v'yivas Esav as a poyra. So the poyra to Esav was worth nothing. He had no interest in the poyra. And therefore, by him, it's not an exaggerated price. You proved that to you, it's not worth more than pennies. It's not worth more than an nezid adoshim. And therefore, so how do we define an exaggerated price? That is relative. It depends on how much it is worth for you. And maybe that is why the Pasuk stresses, and therefore he couldn't argue, you asked for an horrendous, totally unrealistic price. For you, the poyra had no worth at all. It had no significance, and therefore you decided to sell it for a nezid adoshim.
Doesn't he have a fear to save him? So how is it on short?
What?
Doesn't he have a fear to save the guy on short?
We'll discuss that as we move forward. But even if he does have a chiyuv to save, but it's still a service that costs money. So why wouldn't you pay for the service? If it's a reasonable price, then you need to pay for it. It's as if I'm a druggist, I have a drugstore, and a person comes and he needs medicine. And it's a chodesh yesh beskona. Do I need to give him the medicine for free? It has a cost, you know. So I can't take advantage of his illness and ask for an exaggerated price. But the fact that he's a chodesh yesh beskona doesn't mean that he needs to get service for free. Especially when this ferry isn't medicine, and the person running the ferry isn't working in a hospital. You know, it's a ferry, and everybody that needs the service pays for it. So that would be the third tenet. Ve'yivas Esav es ha'poyra, and therefore regarding him, it would not be an exaggerated price. Minchas Asher Simen Mem Hei, I think in the new Mahadura, yes. Simen Mem Hei, Minchas Asher, in the new Mahadura on Chumash Bereishis, I went into a lengthy discussion which kinyanim did Yaakov utilize to purchase the Pera. If you want to make a proper transaction, you need kinyanim. So what were the kinyanim? So based on various sources and the dukim in the parasha, I wrote that, well, it was money, it was chalipin, and that's why the Sephorno says that he kona benozid o bekli asher boi hanozid, because Pera layav the chalipin. There's a machlokes in Baba Metzia with a Pera of the chalipin. Kli lekuli alma is good for chalipin. So the Sephorno says, when Yaakov gives ace of the nozid, o kli asher boya nozid, that was kinyan chalipin. So they did chalipin, they did setumta, they did various different kinyonim. And there's a machlokes at Ashba and Rosh regarding this halacha, if the person that gets on the ferry promised money, an exaggerated sum of money, and if he was Makabal Kinyan, if they did Kinyan Suda, would that obligate him to pay even though the price is an exaggerated price? Chusa Rashbo, Chelak Aleph Simen Elef Mem, 1040. The Rashbo says, a Kinyan would make no difference, because what is the difference whether they did a Kinyan or not? But the fact is that an exaggerated price was demanded, and the person couldn't say no because he was escaping from those that chased him and wanted to hurt him. So even a kinyan would make no difference. But in Shuvah Sarosh, Klal Samech Dalet, Sima Gimel, the Resh says that a kinyan would make a difference. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger quotes the Rosh. So this is a machlokes is the Rosh and the Rosh. The Rosh's opinion is definitive, and the Rashba seems to be mesupak, and ein sofak moitzei midevadei. And many times in the poskim, we say, if one opinion is definitive and the other is somewhat in doubt, then the definitive opinion has the overriding hand. So we would paskin according to the Rosh, that even a kinyan, that a kinyan would be sufficient. And without a kinyan, he could say meshatani b'cho, but not if they did, if they were mekabel kinyan. Nesivus HaMishpat on the spot, Nesiv Kot Neches, differentiates, and the Nesivus argues, if the person that offered the service was mechiv to give the service, then even a kinyan wouldn't be sufficient. But if it wasn't mechiv to give the service, we're not dealing with a Dvar HaMitzvah, then a kinyan would be sufficient to obligate the person to pay, even though the price was an exaggerated price. So let me just fill you in on the sugya. So the Gemara tells a story about the ferry based on a halacha regarding chalitza. So a person didn't want to give chalitza, and trying to convince him to give chalitza, we promised him money. And he was promised, if you're going to give chalitza to the Avama, then you're going to get $10,000. And after he gave chalitza, we say, no, we promise you this money because you are so stubborn and so adamant and you didn't want to be forthcoming, and that is why we promise you the money. But you're not going to get this money. So that is the source upon which Chazal based the halacha of a person that is fleeing from his pursuers, from people that are chasing him to hurt him, and he promises an exaggerated price for the ferry operator that he could say Meshatani B'cho, just like we say Meshatani B'cho to the person that gave chalitza. You don't deserve any pay for chalitza, but we needed to promise you because you were stubborn and you didn't want to fulfill your obligation. So in the story of the ferry, he had a chiyuv. What was the story with the chalitza? So some Rishonim interpret, he wanted to be Miyabim. It's not that he didn't want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah at all. The Torah gives him an option, either Yibim or Chalitza. He could either marry the woman or give her Chalitza. which is the equivalent to a get. So he insisted, I want to be miyaved. And she wanted chalitza. So in that case, he wasn't obliged to give chalitza. The Torah gives him the option to be miyaved. Other commentators say, no, he didn't want to do anything. And in that case, his chiyuv is either yibim or chalitza. And that would be totally similar to the story of the ferry. You need to help this person get away. So, and maybe that is why you cannot ask for an exaggerated price. So that depends, are we dealing with the Dvar Mitzvah or we're not dealing with the Dvar Mitzvah? In the case of Yaakov and Esav, Esav wasn't convinced that it's a mitzvah to sell Yaakov the Bechira. Obviously it was. Rashi says, why was Yaakov so insistent in getting the Bechira? Because he said, it's not ra'ui for a Rosh to be makrev karbonos for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But from the way Esav saw it, he had no chiyuv to sell his bechira to Yaakov. So this is somewhere in the middle between chalitza and the story of the person running away from those that are chasing him, and he gets on to a ferry. Tzoyis HaChoshen, not in Simen Reish Samech Dalet, where the source of this aloch is, but in Simen Reish Chov Zayin Siv Kod Nanav, Tzoyis HaChoshen says that this entire aloch of Mishat HaNibichon is only by Schiris and not by Mechar. Both discussions in Yevamos Kuvov are actually Schiris. We're not dealing with a purchase. We're dealing with a person that asks for service and he is being paid for his services. In the case of the ferry, we're dealing with Schiris. You're getting paid for offering your service. Same in the case of chalitza. Wasn't a purchase. We were paying you because you are so kind to give chalitza. So you're being paid not for something you are selling or giving away, but for service that you are offering, whether it's chalitza or it's getting the person to the other side of the river, or the other side of the lake. And the Ksos HaChoshen argues, this din Meshatani Becho is only by Schiris and not by Mechar. But if a person needs to buy something, let's say he needs to buy medicine, and the person selling this medicine asks for an exaggerated price and he promised, yes, I'll pay according to the Ksos, he needs to pay. And this entire halacha we only find in Shas and Shulchan Aruch regarding Schiris Poyalim, but not when we're dealing with a transaction or a Mechar. And in our case, it's Michro Kayoim Esbechiros Choli. We're dealing with a purchase and not with Schiros. And therefore, according to the other Tzoyis, once again, this halacha won't apply at all.
Just wonder, how moral is this to say Meshata Nibcha? It's a bit disturbing.
No, I don't think it's disturbing. I see it the other way around. I think when a person takes advantage of another person's desperation, that is immoral. That is not moral. Especially when we're dealing with a life that's in danger. So you say you need to get paid. That's fair. That's fair. You know, everybody pays for the service. The fact that your life is in danger. You know, I can't refuse to let you on the ferry until you pay. But by the evidence, when I gave you this service, why shouldn't you pay just like anyone else? So I don't see any lack of morality in saying Meshata Nibcha. I see a tremendous lack of morality in taking advantage of a person's desperation and pressuring him to pay an unrealistic price. So you get 15 shekel from every other passenger. Are you taking advantage of a person's life that's in danger to ask him to pay 100? That is immoral.
But by that reasoning, why should the Shvua make any difference?
Oh. Okay, so this brings us actually to the crux of this sugya, which we find the discussion in the Ramban in Yevamos Kuvov. So the Ramban brings the Yesh Oimrim that this entire din is only when we're actually dealing with a person's life that's in danger, or a situation in which a person is mechuyev to give this service, and therefore he has no right to ask for an unreasonable price. So according to the Ramban, the Yesh Oimrim, the Ramban brings the Yesh Oimrim. And that's what I meant before when I mentioned we're dealing with a person that is running away from other people that are chasing him. and the person operating the ferry doesn't know what the background is, but obviously a person's life is in danger, and they want to either kill him or hurt him, and therefore, al pi halacha, he needs to do everything he can to help this person get away, and therefore, he has no right to ask for an exaggerated price. In the case of chalitza, according to these rishonim, the person refused to give either yibum or chalitza, and therefore, he's doing something which al pi halacha doesn't have a right to do, because this woman deserves either to marry him or someone else. And therefore, this halacha would only apply when a person forfeits his chiyuv. It's your moral and halachic obligation to help this other party. So what right do you have to ask for money, especially an exaggerated sum? The Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban argues that the Loshen Meshata Nibacho proves that the argument of the person that doesn't want to pay is not, you are mechiyev to do it for free. That's not the argument. The argument is, I don't need to pay more than others. According to the Ramban, even if you wouldn't be running away from anyone, you know, business is poor, or the guy is just lazy, or only one passenger. So he knows he could take advantage because there ain't any other passengers. But according to the regulations and the rules, this is a service everybody deserves. A bus driver can say, you're only one passenger, then I want to go home. Why should I work for one passenger? This is the service that everyone deserves. So the Ramban argues that the reasoning of Meshata Nibacho is not based on the fact that this is a service that you were obliged to give because I'm in danger and you need to help me get away. No. It is just because you ask for an exaggerated price and I have the right to get the service just like anyone else for a normal price, and therefore my promise bears no relevance. And I deserve the service just as anyone else for the same price anyone would get it. So the Ramban says, even though he doesn't have a chiyuv to give the service, it's not a dvar mitzvah, it's not a pikuach nefesh, nevertheless, if you ask for an exaggerated price, the other party has a right to say, yes, I'll pay, and then he could say, mishata ani b'cho. Yes?
If it only doesn't apply by mechira, why don't laws of Oinor kick in a case of Mechira, that the party can...
The entire concept of Oinor is only when the person that's Mesana is not aware that he's paying an exaggerated price. If he would fully be aware that this is the price, then he would have to pay.
Notwithstanding that it's under duress.
We don't know. In Ainoa, we do not find the situation under duress. That would be this other sugya. So other poiskim would argue that this rule is relevant to purchase as well. But Ainoa is a different sugya, because Ainoa is not when a person is in duress or in desperation. So that exactly would be the nafkim and the ktsoy sechoshin and the others. So coming back to the fundamental machlokes of the Ramban and others, some Rishonim feel that this entire halacha is only because this is a service that you actually needed to give for free, because I'm in danger and you need to help me get away. The Yavim has an obligation either to do Yibum or Chalitza, and he has no right to say, I don't want to give Chalitza and neither Yibum. And therefore we could promise him money and then say, Mishata Nibacho. So in the case of the chalitza, we say mishata nibecho, and he gets zero, because you're not supposed to be getting paid for this. In the case of the ferry, he does deserve the basic price, even though you need to help another person get away even without being paid. But on the other hand, we say to the person that got away, but this is a service everybody pays for, so pay the normal price, even if you wouldn't have any money, he should offer you this service. So, coming back once again to the Ramban and the Yesh Oimrim, the Ramban quotes, and the Yesh Oimrim is the Mordechai and some other Rishonim. Cool. Mr. Rothschild, did you want to ask something?
Here, take this.
So in our case, was Esav mechuyev to sell his bechorah to Yaakov? Probably not. So according to those Rishonim that say this entire halacha applies only because you needed to help me get away, or it's your halachic obligation to give me this service, and that is the reason I could say Meshatani Bacho, then this entire halacha wouldn't apply to our sugya of Yaakov and Esav, because even though Yaakov, in his opinion, this is something that isn't appropriate for Esav to be Yaakov Karbonis, but Esav wasn't aware of the reason Yaakov wants to buy the Pchoyla, and we cannot say that Esav was Mechuyev to sell his Pchoyla to Yaakov. So the question would only be relevant according to the Ramban and not according to the other opinion. So one more approach would be, which would be number 7. Rei Samech Dalet in Choshe Mishvat, where this halacha is brought in Sif Ches, the Shulchan Aruch differentiates that if the person didn't pay until he's on the other side of the river, then he could say Meshate Nibacho, and he doesn't have to pay. But if he already paid, he cannot demand his money back. So obviously this argument of Meshatan Ibicho is only helping the Muchzak, but not the Moitzi. And in Dina Moment, as we know, in very many sugars, there's a difference between a Muchzak and a Moitzi. So it is only if he didn't pay, and he argues, I don't want to pay, because I argue Meshatan Ibicho. So what would our situation be? Because Esav didn't need to supply anything. You know, it's a transaction which is more Sheval Taisa. Unlike when you buy something and after paying you need to get either a piece of land or metaltanin or objects or whatever it is. When Esav offers Yaakov the Nezid Adashim, that is the transaction and the Pchoyle is just gone. So would this be like a Moitzi? Or a Muchzak, if Esav would argue Meshatani Bacho, would he have the status of a Muchzak, or would he be a Moitzi? It depends. What is the difference? Why would this argument only be acceptable Meshatani Bacho if he did not pay it, but if he paid, he can't ask for his money back? And we could offer two different explanations. One explanation would be, very, very many tainis that we find in Hilchos Toyin Venitin are good enough for a muhzak, but not for a moitzi. Bori v'shem. That's a machlokes amaron. Bori v'shem, bori yodef, or not bori yodef. The halach is bori v'shem, lav bori yodef. Can it be moitzi momen with the tainis bori? Migo. According to some Rishonim, migo lohoitzi, lo amrinan. Migo would only be good enough to be Masik, but not to be Moitzi. So one could argue the argument in Meshatani Bacho is not such a powerful and convincing argument. And therefore, it is only Lahachzik. I don't want to pay, but if I already paid, I can't ask for a refund and get my money back. Or maybe the explanation would be a different one. If I paid, that proves that I intended on paying in the first place. It's just b'dieved that somebody gave me this idea. Maybe you could argue that you didn't really intend to pay. But the fact that you paid up, wouldn't that prove that when you said, I'm going to pay, and you agreed to the price, that was with total sincerity and proper intent? The fact that you paid, and it's only been the evidence that you can now and you ask for your money back. And the difference would be lenidon didan. Because if we say that the fact that he paid proves that he was sincere, then Esav didn't pay. So he doesn't have to pay, but he didn't pay. Esav didn't prove in any way that he was sincere in his hischaivus and his obligation when he said, I am willing to sell the pchoyla for an nezid adashim. But if we say that the argument isn't strong enough to be moitzi, then one could argue Esav's argument wouldn't be enough compelling to prevent Yaakov from being makrev korbonos. So the Rashba, when the Rashba is machadish this chiddush and he says if he already paid, he can't get his money back, the Rashba is not dealing with a case in which he paid after crossing the river. He's dealing with the situation in the operator of the ferry. He was afraid that the guy wouldn't pay up, and therefore he insisted on getting his money before taking it, letting him up on the ferry. And after Biken, the Rashba says he won't get his money back. And in that case, when he paid, doesn't prove that his intent was sincere. He paid because this is extortion. He paid because they wouldn't let him up on the ferry unless he pays in advance. And therefore, the fact that he paid doesn't prove that he intended to pay. You took advantage of my desperation to get this money out of me before even letting me up on the ferry. So this would prove that the other explanation is the more relevant one, understanding this halacha, that the argument of Meshate isn't strong enough to be moitzi, only to be machzik, and therefore Esav could not invalidate the mechir of the pchoyle and prevent Yaakov from being makrov korbonis. So I offer 7 different explanations why Esav couldn't argue Meshata Ani Becho. And as we see in the second part of the Reishia, it's very important for us to know that this transaction was a valid transaction, as we will explain in the continuation of today's year. So this Sugi in Yevomis Kuvav brings us to a big discussion in Halacha. So when a person comes to a doctor and he needs to be healed, and it's a private practice, not a doctor working in a hospital, but he has his private clinic. And he's a top-notch doctor, a doctor with a very high reputation and a well-paid doctor. Could a person, you know, get service and get treatment and then say, Meshata Ani Becho, because this is your moral obligation. So, few places in Shas we find the Gemara says, Ma'ani Bechinam, Ma'afato Bechinam. And the Gemara speaks about Talmud Torah, but it's not only Talmud Torah, it's every mitzvah. And a person doesn't have the right to ask for payment for performing mitzvahs. Ma ani bechinom af atem bechinom. So people teaching Torah are only entitled to get schar batola, and not more, because we are to teach Torah for free. And you have no right to ask for money when you perform a mitzvah. And a doctor definitely performs a mitzvah when he does his duty. So how is a doctor entitled in receiving compensation? So the Ramban in Yevomis Kuvov says that all a doctor could ask for is schar betola and schar tercha, but nothing more than that. Shin lamed vov, yoredeya siv beis. The Mechava says, a doctor cannot ask for schar chokhmah v'limud lo. Schar torach and schar betele, ken. Schar betele is not much. It ain't much. So could a person say, after receiving service from a doctor, Meshata Ani Becho, this is your obligation. So what is the mitzvah of administering medicine? So if we're dealing with patients whose life is in danger, it's pikuach nefesh. It's the greatest mitzvah. It's saving lives. Even if we're dealing with the chodesh shein b'sekona, hashavas aveda. Also, v'yahavtu l'reachu kemoicho. So as I explained in many other opportunities, v'yahavtu l'reachu kemoicho is not only an emotion, it's not only a feeling, love thy neighbor. The Rambam's interpretation, both in El Chazdeas and in Perek Yud Dalad of El Chaz Ovel, is V'yahavtu l'reachu kemoicho necessitates that a person does for others what he would expect others to do for him. You need to act and react and interact with people in a way that would reflect and manifest the love for every fellow person, every fellow Jew. And therefore, helping a person when he is in any type of need would be included in V'yahavtu l'reachu kemoicho. So a doctor administering medicine, if it's life-saving situations, that is the greatest mitzvah in the Torah, and even when people's life are not in danger, it still is Hashavas Aveda, V'yahavtu l'reachu kemoicho. So could he ask for money? Ma'ani b'chinam, af atem b'chinam. So these are two different arguments. One is you need to perform mitzvahs without asking to be paid for performing mitzvahs. And the other argument would be based on the sugya with which we started off the shiur today. Could a person say, I was in desperation, my life is in danger, and therefore I would promise anything to get a cure from my predicament, and therefore why can't he say Meshatani Bacho? So if the pay is reasonable pay, Tosfos says, then you can't say Meshatani Bacho, and that is also in Choshen Mishpot, Simen Reish Samech Dalet. How do we define reasonable pay when it comes to medicine? Reasonable pay would be like in many other areas in the modern world, in a modern economy. If you want a person who has a better reputation and is more comfortable, then you pay a higher price. And that is in every other field, whether you're dealing with an engineer or a doctor or a builder or any other surface or an artist or whatever it is. So do we have any key to define what would be reasonable? In the modern economy, reasonable is supply and demand. That determines what is reasonable and what is not reasonable. So if you're a lousy doctor and you ask for $10,000 for a treatment, obviously nobody's going to pay it. So, but the other question, which is the more pressing question, which is not based on Yavom Mistaf Kuvov, but Ma'ani Bechinam Af Ato Bechinam. And the Shulchan Aruch says, all you could ask for is Schar Betola and Schar Terche. What does Schar Terche mean? So, if a doctor does house calls, he could say, I'm not obliged to do house calls. You know, you could come to my clinic. And if you want me to come to your house, you need to pay for it. But that would be a minimal price. So, how could doctors have parnasa today? So, basically, there are three different explanations. The first would be, we live in a different world than the world of yore. So I don't know how many years you needed to study 100 years ago or 500 years ago to become a doctor. I don't know. The Rambam doesn't describe in his writings how many years he had to study to become a physician. But knowing what we know about medicine going back hundreds of years, which wasn't very much, then I would assume it took probably a month or 2 months or 3 months to become a doctor. I would assume. Today it takes 12 years. How long does it take? Are there any doctors here besides Dr. Segal? You're a doctor, right? What's your name? I forget.
Avram Belzan.
Oh, your brothers, yeah. Eli and Avram. Yes.
Son Shmuel.
Yes, your son. So how many years did you study to become a doctor?
11 or 12 years.
Okay, so it's totally unreasonable to tell a doctor, you invested 11, 12 years of your life, and besides the years you invested, you paid a lot of money for your studies, and somebody needs to compensate you for that. That is a direct investment. So it's unreasonable that a person built a house and then other people come to live in the house and they don't need to pay in any way to compensate the person for building this house. So unlike medicine going back hundreds of years or 1,000 years, today, the direct investment that a doctor needs to invest in his profession until he could start making money is huge. And therefore, it is reasonable that the price he is paid should have some correlation with the investment that he invested. And therefore, it's not as what we find in the Shulchan Aruch composed 500 years ago, or in the Ramban going back 900 years, and they say that a doctor cannot take schar chokhma v'schar limud, only schar betola. The other argument would be, so in the time of the Rambam, there was a huge controversy. The Rambam writes in two different sources, Perasha Mishnah in Masechet Avos, and in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam is very against people making panosa from Torah. And the Rambam brings that the greatest Tanoim and Ameroim worked, either manual labor or in business. So we have Rabbi Yochanan Hassandler, and Rabbi was was a brewer of beer, and Hillel HaZaken was a choit of Eitzim. He chopped wood, and the Rambam brings the greatest Tanoim worked to earn their daily bread. And the Rambam writes, being paid for teaching Torah is a Chilul Hashem. And the case of Mishnah, the Rambam's most loyal disciple, I think it's only once in the entire Rambam that the case of Mishnah writes, Ein Halocha Kedivrei HaRambam. And the case of Mishnah writes that all the Gedolim in the generation of the Rambam disagreed. His most vocal opponent in this sugi is the Tashvitz, and Tshuvas HaTashvitz there are several Tshuvas, arguing that if we would act in accordance to the Rambam, Tishtakech HaTorah MiYisroel, and that is why in every Kehillah, scholars were supported, they should be able to learn and teach. So, Eis L'Asa Yis L'Hashem, Afeiru Sarosecho, and we could say the very same argument regarding doctors. So if doctors wouldn't be able to make a decent panosa, who would be a doctor? So I can tell you from my experience, doctors work very hard, especially in this country. And if they won't be compensated, they won't get a decent panosa, we wouldn't have any doctors. And just like teachers of Torah are essential, doctors are also essential. So teachers of Torah take care of our neshamas, doctors take care of our bodies, but we need them both. And we are made up of a body and soul, and a guf and neshama. So just like the Rambam argues, by basic halachic definition, you need to teach Torah for free. And a teacher of Torah cannot take any only schar v'tola belvad. And all the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and they say, yes, we support scholars, we support teachers of Torah, and we need to see to it that they have a decent parnosa. One could say the same regarding doctors. And we find many sources in Chazal, obviously, that even in their days, doctors were paid. The Gemara Bava Kamed Af Peihe quotes this famous line, Asya B'mogen, Mogen Shavya. So a rafua that's for free is worth what you paid for. You cannot expect to get more than what you paid for. So the Gemara says, a rafua that's for free isn't worth a dime. So you cannot expect to get anything of value without paying for it. So this expression proves that even in the days of Chazal, doctors were paid in a decent way. So even though, by basic halachic definition, Ma'ani b'chinam, afata b'chinam, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, a doctor is only entitled to take schar betola and schar tercha, the same reasoning in which the Rishonim say that we need to pay for scholars and talmid chachamim and support them, and for teachers of Torah, the same would apply to doctors. So we explained in several different ways why the meaning today is that you pay for the medicine that you get, and better doctors get higher pay. And we dealt with two different sugis, the sugi in Yevomis, that you could say Meshatani Bacho, and the other sugi, which is sourced in Nedorim, Ma'ani Bachinom, Af Atem Bachinom. Yes?
A mile. Many mile will tell people that they expect a certain amount of money in return for their...
for the service.
Yeah.
Yeah. So most Moyalim I know don't directly ask for money, but everybody understands and assumes that that you need to pay for the service. And I say the same, as I said regarding doctors, as the Rishonim say regarding teachers of Torah. So maybe some Moyalim do have a fixed price, but many Moyalim here in Eretz Yisrael don't have a fixed price. But people pay for the services. First of all, it is Schar Betola, and we need Moyalim. And if we won't pay them, then there won't be Moyalim, or there won't be good Moyalim. And if we want someone to be good at his trade, and just like we want a good surgeon when we need an operation, we want a good Moyal for our children, and therefore we won't have good Moyalim unless they could make a decent living. I think most Moyalim aren't rich. But they do deserve to have a decent parnasa just like anyone else. Otherwise, we wouldn't have mayanim. So this is a very relevant and very interesting discussion. Yes?
When Esau found out that by losing the Bukhari, he lost the brachas also, did that make it enough? Now we thought it was worth a lot more.
I don't think we could deal in the sugya of Einoah, because Einoah has very fixed criteria. Pochus mishtus, yoise mishtus, shtus. So it is only something that has a price. But the brachas of Yitzchak, did they have a price? I mean, it was Yudaika once in history. Never was anything like it. So how could we define how much that cost? Secondly, Yaakov didn't pay for the brachas. He bought the pchoyla. The brachas are only an indirect benefit, so that wouldn't be... So that is why I didn't mention the sugya of Einoah. Because once again, also the pchoyla didn't have a fixed price, so you can't speak about Einoah, something that doesn't have a fixed price. It's unique. It's something, one of its kind. So why did Yaakov need the prayer? Yes.
Why is the Bukhar Dover Shalom Balalom? There are current things. Gain of the Karbonos. It wasn't Dover Shalom Balalom. It was something relevant.
So all the Shoinim dealing with the question of Dover Shalom Balalom assume that what was sold is actually the inheritance. Because in most Parshias in Tanakh or in Chazal, Bechoyda means double portion of the inheritance. So all these discussions on Perpulim dealing with Dovah Shel Bor Yolam do not fit in with Rashi when Rashi says it was about the Karbonos and not about money. I think I explained many times that when the Rishonim and the Achronim and I too following in their footsteps, we analyze Chumash Bereshis based on halachic discussion, it is a certain approach. And basically, it is just using the parashiyos as a springboard for discussion. But it's not really questioning, you know, Yaakov and Esav. It was before Matan Torah. And it's more reasonable to say it wasn't the business. It wasn't the business transaction. It wasn't really a business dealing. It wasn't really kinyonim. So going back to the very earliest sources, which is the Rosh and the Tur and the Rivash and the Ktzoyis HaChosh and the Simar Reisha and Ches, and many, many other great Gedolim dealing with the question of Dovah Shel Bor Yolam, their assumption was that we're dealing with the classical concept of Pchoyla, which is Pishnayim B'Yerusha. Definitely all these discussions are irrelevant according to Rashi. That wasn't about Yerusha at all, it was just about Karbonos, and therefore it's not a Dovah Shel Bor Yolam. But on the other hand, it's a Dovah Shel Bor Mamish. Is this something which a Kinyan is Chal? A Kinyan is Chal either on Metaltalin or on Karka, on the Schus to be Makar of Karbonos. That's a Dovah Shel Bor Mamish. Could you sell that? Could a purchase change the basic reality that he is the Bchor and not you? So, person didn't have Pidina Ben. Could he sell his Bchor to his younger brother? And you do Pidina Ben instead of me. You know, well, the fact is you're the firstborn and not him. So if it's about Karbonos, is that, could one sell that? So if we're dealing with money, the question would be Dovah Shel Bor Yolam. If we're dealing with the Karbonos, the question would be Dovah Shel Bor Mamish. You know, it's not something that you could sell. And my response to both approaches was, it's not really about purchasing, and it's not really about chalois kinyonim. So these discussions are primarily just using these parashiyos as a springboard for discussion and the Shashua Shel Torah. So therefore, it is interesting that the Rosh wants to prove from this parasha that Al Yedei Shavuot Odo Makna Dovah Shel Bor Yolam. And that would be a tremendous chiddush. Could you prove a point from this parasha that Al Yedei Shavuot Odo Makna Dovah Shel Bor Yolam? But obviously that is what the Tur quotes from the Rosh. It's not in Tur in Dalat Chalke Shulchan Aruch, but rather in Perush Tur Ala Toira, which is, once again, it's not an halachic source, but he does write that the Rosh wanted to prove from this sugya that Ali Reishuo or the Makna Dovashala Buryala. So my understanding would be that's the svara of the Rosh, you know, that's what he feels al pi svara, because if it's only a deficiency, a lack of smichas das, then the shvuah would give additional smichas das. So it's not that he proved this halacha from Yankov and Esav, it is because he's mechadash this halacha misvora, this would be his way of explaining the parsha of Yankov and Esav. So coming back to the fundamental question, why did Yankov want to buy the Pchoira? So as I just discussed a few moments ago, many maintain when we're dealing with money, with monetary benefits. Rashi writes, it was the kabbonis that he was disturbed about. But the Zohar Kodesh has a totally different approach, and I think every year I speak about the Zohar, and the Zohar says, Yankov's eyes are fixed on the brochas. And brocha and bechoira are the same letters, just in another order. And Yankov knows, Beruach HaKodesh, that the Bchor is the one that ultimately would get the brochas, and he needs those brochas. And to achieve those brochas, he needs the Bchoira. So this is not Pshutoy Shel Mikro. In the Pasha, we don't see any connection between the Bchoira and the Brocha. But it seems to be obvious, and it becomes even more obvious when Esav argues and he cries out that V'yakveni Zeh Pamayim, first he took my Bchoira and now he's taking the Brochas. And according to the Zohar, Ho Boho Tanya. And the reason Yankov needs the Bchoira is because he needs to get those brochas. What is a bit difficult according to this approach is because when Rivka initiates the conspiracy to get the brochas, Yankov seems to be surprised. But maybe Yankov knew Baruch HaKodesh that the Bchor will ultimately get the brochas, but he never imagined that this is the way it needs to happen, by fooling Yitzchak and tricking Yitzchak into thinking that he's actually giving the brochas to Esav. And that's why Yankov is taken aback when Rivka says, no, this is the way it's gotta be. So maybe Yankov knew Beruach HaKodesh that after achieving the Bchoira, he will ultimately get the brochas, but he probably imagined he'll get the brochas free willingly from Yitzchak, and Esav will step aside. You know, you will explain to Esav that I'm the Brochor and therefore I deserve the brochas. So Yankov needed the Bchoira, not because he needed the riches that Yitzchak had to offer, and not even because of the Krovus Kabonas, just to get those brochas. And why does Yankov need those brochas? So the Zohar Kodesh explains that Yankov was blessed four times during his lifetime. First time, these are the brochas that he got from Yitzchak, when Yitzchak thought actually that he's Esav. And then when Esav is out to destroy Yankov, and Rivka tells him, go to Lavan, leave town. And Yitzchak blessed him once again, and then the Malach blesses him. And the final brochas are the ones that V'yaovek ish imoi, and Yankov says, Lo yashalechecho ki im berachtoli, and then Sora Shel Esav blesses Yankov, and Chazal's interpretation, he finally conceded those brochas. And the Zohar Kodesh explains that Yankov, with all his stress and turmoil and yisurim and challenges that he had during his lifetime, so first Yaakov had to deal with Esav, and then with Lavan, and then with the tragedy of Yosef and his brothers. Yaakov for himself took the lesser brochas, and those are the ones that Yitzchak benched him when he sent him away to Lavan. What did he do with the other three? The other three sets of brochas were for Klal Yisrael, La'orech Galusoi. And in Golus Mitzrayim, we were zoche to a geula, in the schus of one of Yankov's brachas. Bayis Sheni and the geula of Bavel was in the schus and the merit of a second set of brachas. And the brachas that Yankov achieved instead of Esav are the ones that in their merit we will zoicha b'kora b'yameinu to the geula shalemo. And that is the interpretation of this Zoya. And when we learn this Zoya, everything becomes so much more appealing and understandable. Because our Torah is called Sefer HaYosho. Twice in Sefer Yehoshua, Torah's Moshe is called Sefer HaYosho. And both in Yerushalmi and in Bavli, Avodah Zarah Daf Chavav, the Gemara says, why is the Torah Sefer HaYosho? Because the Avos were Yeshurim, and we need to emulate them and follow in their footsteps. And in this week's parasha, Yaakov doesn't seem to be so straightforward and honest and Yosho. So there are many different explanations and interpretations regarding Lavan, Achiv Ani Beramois. Yaakov was a wild, Esav was a wild one, but we do not find that he wasn't Yosho. He seems to be straightforward and honest, and he says what he meant, and he meant what he said. But when we learn the Zohar, everything, we see everything in a different light. It's nothing about him. It's not for himself. He knows that this is destiny. He knows what the world is all about. He knows about Moshiach Tzidkenu, and he knows what it means, L'taken Olam B'Malchus Shaddai. And he also knows, Beiruach HaKodesh, that this is the only way and this is how it's meant to be. And Yaakov Avini knows that we need to be redeemed after Golas Mitzrayim, and we need to be Zoche to Agil Olach HaBoros Bavel. And he also knows that the Tachlas HaBriah, the Tachlas of this world, is to bring to Tikkun Olam B'Malchus Shaddai, and that would only happen with the brachas of Yitzchok Avinu. And that is why Yaakov needs the Pchora, because he knows that the brachas are designated for the Pchor. And those brachas are not for himself. He wasn't Nehane Kemekoyel B'Shvoyferes. He leaves those brachas in their entirety for Zere Yaakov, for Klal Yisrael, La'orech Galus. And one additional thought that I think to me is very appealing. So why did it have to be this way? If we could understand, and maybe we can't. There is so much we don't understand. And sometimes we just step back and say, Ba'adei kafshe derachmon elam alachom. So why did it need to be in this fashion? And why couldn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu just decree that Yitzchak will, out of his free will and understanding, give the brachas to Yaakov, and he will tell Esav, Yaakov deserves the brachas. He's the better one, better than you, and I'm going to give you some brachas as well. But shut up, and I want to give the brachas to Yaakov. So, Libi Oymeri, you know, we find in the Navi, Ahavti Eschem, Omer Hashem, Va'amartem Bameh Ahavtonu. Haloi Ach Esav LeYaakov, Va'ohav Es Yaakov, Es Esav Soneisi. So the Navi says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you. And we say, how do we see it? How do we know that you love us? And there will come a time in which the difference between Yaakov and Esav will not be that obvious. It will not always be that obvious. So living in Eretz Yisrael in a firm community, most of our people, most of our brethren aren't from. Most of our brethren, to our dismay, have no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not proud of the Yiddishkeit, and they're not really there. And they too will be redeemed. When Mashiach will come, it'll not only be for us, it'll be for Klal Yisrael. And the Navi says, it is only because I love you, Zer Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, Vo'ohav Es Yaakov Es Esav Soneisi. So maybe the brachas, those very special brachas, that will help us get out of this gonas and bring us to the Geula Shleima. Those brachas were bestowed upon Yaakov when Yaakov actually looked like Esav. And Yitzchak really thought he's giving the brachas to Esav and not to Yaakov. Because these brachas that we will need b'saf hayomim, when some of us would appear quite like Esau, won't be that obvious who is who, who is right and who is left, who is here and who is there, who are the good ones and who are not. So dafka these brachas were bestowed on Yaakov when Yitzchak actually thought Yaakov is Esav. He thought he's benching Esav and he benched Yaakov. And this is the way it had to be. Because throughout the ages, sometimes wasn't that apparent and obvious who's Yaakov and who's Esav. And after Bikem, the Navi says, "Ahavti eschem ne'um Hashem, haro ach Esav li'Yaakov, o'ev es Yaakov es Esav senesi." And that is the way, this is the way it had to be. So Yaakov cared for us. And let's hope that these brachas finally will materialize and finally we be manifested with the Geula Shalema. So the Avodah for Yaakov was La'oda Chagoras. Malava Malka is defined as Sudas Malko Meshicho. And it is interesting, Eliyahu HaNavi will be the Mevasar. And in the Zmiras of Moshe Shabbos, we only find two individuals that have a special Zema. Omer Hashem Liyankov, Valtir Yaakov, and Eliyahu HaNavi. Because Malava Malka Sudas Dovid Malka Meshicho. And all the Rishonim say, the 6 days of the week coincide with Shit Alfin Shnin Havei Alma. Shabbos is the Elef of the Geulo. Moitzi Shabbos is Sudas Dovid Malka Meshicho. So we have a Zema for Yaakov and we say, Al Tiru Avdi Yaakov, your toil was not in vain. Eliyahu HaNavi will come and he will be Mevasar Geulo Lebono. Because the Avoid of Yaakov was just to pave the way for Klal Yisrael Oirech HaGolus. It is his brachas that brought us out of Golus Mitzrayim, his brachas that brought us out of Golus Bavel, and ultimately it is his brachas of this week's parsha that will bring us out of this long and tortuous Golus Ad Bias Goyal Seder. We should be Zoicha B'Kura B'Yameinu to Bias Mashiach Tzadkeinu, B'Mheiro V'Yomeinu Amen.